Thank you very much. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Q1 call of GFT Technologies. I think there's a lot of reporting going on today, so let's jump right into the presentation, which I hope you have in front of you. Let's move to slide number two, and start on the left side. Revenue overall for our first quarter was down 4% to roughly 107 million euros. We had more FX effects on revenues than usual, which means FX corrected, we would have shown stable revenues compared to Q1 last year. I will go into the segments on the later slides. EBITDA-wise, we're 1% up compared to 2017, although in last quarter, comparing quarter, we had some extraordinary effects inside, which I will go into when we look at the segment results. EBT is up 2% to 6.5 million euros, and employee number is stable compared to the end of 2017 and 2% down compared to a year ago, which feels like it's a long time ago for GFT. Going forward, slide number three, looking at the results at a glance, the same but only in numbers. Revenues, 107 million, 4% down. EBITDA, 10 million euros, comparing to 9.9 million, the number of Q1 last year. If we exclude the extraordinary items we had in 2017 first quarter, which was 1 million of restructure cost and 250,000 for our Habertech earn-out, the comparing number is a -10% for the EBITDA of this first quarter. The other earnings numbers you see when we come to earnings per share, we're stable compared to the first quarter 2017 at 0.19 per share. Moving forward, slide number four, which is more a comprehensive overview of the last quarters. Usually, here we go into the running quarter, but as always, the first quarter is the only quarter, so we look at the year-to-date numbers already on the slides before. We expect our numbers, especially the earnings numbers for 2018, to be less volatile than last year. If you compare the 2017 numbers to previous periods at GFT, it was a quite volatile year, and we hope 2018 will be far less volatile than 2017. Moving forward, slide number five. Again, a slide which usually focuses on the quarter at hand, but as it is the first quarter, we already jumped into most of the numbers. Maybe one more information, comparing this first quarter to 2017, we had 3% less billable days in this first quarter, which usually is good for the profitability of the quarter. Let's move forward and go into the segments. Revenue per segment on slide number six. Looking at Americas and U.K., we see 47.9 million euros, and we see a big FX impact on the right side, 7% reduction coming from FX. Main drivers, the dollar is down over the last 12 months by 15%, and we have relevant dollar revenues in New York City. The Brazilian real is down 19% compared to 12 months ago. We have a bit of an effect on the euro to pound, but it's mainly dollars and Brazilian real. Therefore, we have a total reduction of 13% comparing Q1 2018 to 2017 for Americas and U.K. Looking at continental Europe, well, of course, there we have nearly no FX impact, only a bit from Switzerland, and we're up 5% in revenues, which brings us GFT group-wise to -3.7, of which most comes from FX. Let's go one step deeper. You got used to our separated view on top two clients and other clients. Unchanged, top two clients is defined as Deutsche Bank and Barclays, which Barclays was one of our top two clients, or the top two client, especially in investment banking last year. It will not be anymore in 2018, but for comparison reasons, we use the top two clients. We show them here by segments. Americas and U.K., the top two clients are down 22%. This is a number we have expected. Then we see growth in all other clients of 2%, which of course is offset partially by FX effects. Continental Europe, here we see the top two clients are up 11%. This was a positive surprise. We had expected, especially Deutsche Bank, retail banking in the region, so outside of Germany, especially in Spain, saving budgets. So far they've been spending nearly on the same level, partially on a higher level in Germany, on a higher level than in 2017. This was a positive surprise. Of course, the teams were then rerouted from other clients' growth to top two clients' growth, which means we were not able to grow in the other clients, continental Europe, more than 2%. And this brings us overall group-wide to top two clients 10% down and all other clients 2% up. Those 2% are offset by nearly 2.5% of FX effects. The real growth comparing in other clients is more 4.5%. In a nutshell, the top two are on the upside of our guidance in Q1, while the other clients are evolving a bit slower. But again, as usual, if your top two clients eat resources, it's harder to grow with the other clients at the same time. Moving forward, slide number 8, EBITDA and EBT per segment. Here we continue to show the boxes of 2017, hoping we don't have many boxes for 18 coming up. So far, we had none. Last year, we had the restructure cost and the partial earn-out accrual for Habertech included. That's what the box says. We do see a significant improvement on America's and UK side, but let's mention that 1.5 million are moved by adapted allocations on a group level from continental Europe to Americas and UK. So 1.5 comes from continental Europe. All the improvement, the rest is operational improvements there. When we come to continental Europe, well, they lost 1.5 for internal reallocation. On top, our high profitability we had, especially in Spain, with many, many billing days in Q1 last year, we were not able to sustain in the first quarter 18. That is roughly 1.5 million because of less billable days. And last but not least, we had a reduction in earnings and in revenues on our Swiss accounts. In Switzerland, we've been working and fighting with our Avaloq partner and customer throughout 2017. You know, we had a lawsuit with that customer for a big project in Germany. We settled at the end of 17. We got paid at the beginning of 18, so we're all clear. But of course, the pipeline for the first half of 2018 was built throughout the second half of 2017. And there, the relationship to this company, to this partner, it was burdened. And therefore, we currently face, and we will see that in Q2 as well, weaker revenues in Switzerland. And as usually, those revenues have been highly profitable. We miss roughly 500K of EBITDA in the first quarter. Okay, this brings us to slide number 9, revenue by countries. Not many changes, more the direction is, as you already have seen on the segment slides, UK is down from 29% to 26% of our overall revenues. Similar development in the US, also decline here, mainly in the top two clients. On top, Spain growing, Germany growing nicely, and here it's partially Deutsche Bank retail banking growth. We do see Brazil a bit weaker, and you see the Swiss numbers, 40% down compared to a year ago. This is what I was mentioning before. Other countries' growth mainly comes from Mexico, and for the first time we have external revenues in Poland, where we deliver nearshore but to a Polish entity of Commerzbank. Moving forward, slide number 10. Currency distribution in the first quarter F18. Well, on the cost side, we've become a bit more euro-based than before, which is logical because we have reduced our cost base in pounds and dollars somewhat in 2017. On the revenue side, we're still highly euro-based, but of course we have a relevant share of pound. The FX risks that are in the system of GFT are mainly delivery from Poland and invoicing in pounds in London. That's one thing. We usually hedge that. On the other side, we have delivery from Brazil into New York City. So we build in real and we sell in dollars. Here, so far this year, we have not hedged this position, which, so far looking back, it's always easy, was a good idea not to hedge so far because the real has been weakening week over week. Moving forward, slide number 11, our top 30 clients in the first quarter. And as always, the new clients on this list have a blue box around them. So we're on the capital market side, we see Schroders and Bloomberg, one in UK, one in US. And we see DWP Bank, which is an institution mainly supporting the savings organizations in Germany when they use the capital markets, and where we are rebuilding their core banking. So it's a German capital markets clients. We don't usually have so many of those. On retail banking, we added Raiffeisen from Switzerland and Scotia Bank from Canada. And here, besides Scotia Bank, there's a small mistake. Of course, KKR is not a retail bank. It should belong to the capital markets block on the top. So please just put an arrow next to it. All right, let's move forward. Slide number 12, our profit and loss statement. As always, I will not go in too deep. You do see that we have increased our purchased services by 4% because we had quite a strong demand, a bit stronger than expected. We did not increase the team significantly in this time period, so we used more freelancers to support our clients. And the other big topic of 2017, or at least of the end of 17, was our tax rate, which was quite low. Now it stands at 24% in the first quarter, and we predict a more normalized tax rate for 2018 of 20 to 22% for the full year. Let's move forward. Slide number 13, showing the operating profit and especially the M&A effects. And when you look at Q1, there are no extraordinary effects at all. It's only amortization at 1.4 million euros, which is a bit more than run rate because our small Spanish acquisition, Mekemza, has a higher amortization in the first half year, and it already lowers in the second half. That's why we believe the guidance is still mostly accurate, but it was a bit higher in the first quarter. Going forward, the balance sheet. Well, usually I don't comment so much on the balance sheet. Maybe I just inform you that we have implemented the new IFRS 15 rules. When you look at the balance sheet in detail, you will see that we have some new positions, which we have to show. But overall, it did not mean any major impact for GFT, especially not on the P&L. What else to say? At the end of March, we had quite good working capital position. And this brings me to slide number 15. And this good working capital position is reflected in the operating cash flow. Well, there are two impacts. First of all, we got the money from, I mentioned the lawsuit with Avaloq. We got the money in January, which means roughly 11 million on the operating cash flow are not belonging to the Q1 period, come from previous periods, are exceptional. But usually in Q1, because the working capital is building up, we're in negative territory. And this time, we would be, without Avaloq, close to zero, which is quite strong. Therefore, also our net cash position at minus 30 million that you see on the very right of the graph is also a good working capital position at the moment, leading to a low net debt of only 30 million euros. All right, moving forward, slide 16, employees by country. Well, it's nearly the same number as at the end of 2017. You do see that we have a bit of a reduction in Spain. We have a pickup in Poland. Currently, our demand from UK mainly goes for Polish employees. And we do see strong and continuous growth in our Mexican organization, which, when you look back 2 years ago, stood at 104 employees. It's now 186 and continues to grow. Last but not least, the outlook on slide 17 is completely unchanged. Of course, 107 million times 4 would bring us to the upper side of our bandwidth. The revenue bandwidth we gave is 400 to 420 million. But we all know that Deutsche Bank has been rediscussing their positioning, including management changes that we all have heard or read about throughout the first quarter. We believe them to be working on their budget in the second half, so probably Q2 is still a bit stronger, and then the second half from the top two clients will be burdened with budget cuts. That's what we predict, but still we give the bandwidth. Therefore, the 420 would be the high side. We would probably believe it to be more in the middle, but we give a bandwidth because we will only know at the end of Q2 where this is really going in 2018. Growth in all other clients is picking up. Q1, you saw the numbers, was burdened by FX. Of course, currently it continues. The dollar is reducing. This is not really helping our in euro shown growth with our other clients. However, here we predict an improvement in growth with those clients, but the question marks with our top two clients, they remain. And that's it, quite a fast run through with the Q1 numbers, as always, hoping to be quite efficient. Please, I'm ready to take your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we'll begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. And one moment for the first question, please. The first question comes from the line of Andreas Wolf of Warburg Research. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hello, good morning. Congratulations to a good start to the year. A couple of questions from my side. So the first one is regarding the employees. So you've mentioned already Mexico has a good momentum with regarding with regard to the number of employees. I'm just wondering if the current U.S. administration might stop this trend. Do you see any initiatives from that side to stop deliveries from lower cost countries to the U.S.? And then the second is, or probably second one, question 1B is related to Brazil. You had a sequential decline in the number of employees there. Maybe you could shed some light on the development there. I guess it's linked to the Mexican development, but it would be interesting to know what is behind this development. And then I know I've asked this question before, but maybe you could update us on any news with regard to Deutsche. They had a management overhaul at the beginning of this year. If you already see any changes, I would assume nothing has changed for you yet, but maybe you could reaffirm this. And then on retail banking, also related to Deutsche, that's my third question. Are there any special drivers of this demand, or is it just a general modernization of the IT of the retail banking? Thank you.
All right, good morning. Yes, employees, let's start with that. Well, you mentioned Mexico first. Currently for GFT, Mexico is purely a local market. Therefore, we're not delivering into the US from Mexico as of now. Of course, this is an option for the future, but so far we're growing and working only in Mexico for Mexican and usually follow your client, Spanish-based Mexican customers. Therefore, Mexico is not a problem. Brazil, you mentioned it. Yes, the employee number there is declining. Main driver is Deutsche Bank in New York, who are reducing, and we are delivering a relevant part of that from Brazil. That's the bigger impact on the decline. Yes, we did not grow. We had a small reduction in team size in the first quarter because of the local business, but that was minor. The bigger impact is coming from our Deutsche Bank business in New York. And this leads to Deutsche Bank, right? It kind of follows me wherever I go. But we do not have much more news than you. They are not really, we don't see them fully reshuffle everything like happened the last time, where we saw managers on all levels exchanged. We hope there is a bit more stability, but we, to be honest, do not know. The CIO has changed, right? Kim Hammonds has left and a new person was named. And with usually that person is not our direct contact when it comes to projects, right? These are the CIOs on their application levels. But the change has not led to any news on our side. The demand side so far was quite strong, especially on the retail banking, and that was Germany. And this is the ongoing initiative to digitalize the bank. And this is what we've been working and growing with in 2017, and this has continued in Q1. We are, of course, somewhat afraid that once the Postbank integration takes over the major part of the budgets, they will cut on digitalization just because they will not spend on both. There's no strategic logic. It's more a cost-saving logic then. But again, this is what we fear. There is not yet proof of that. So Deutsche is a bit in the fog, and we have to wait somewhat more until we really get news out of the bank. So far, they are behaving as before, and we believe as we have predicted.
Okay, thank you. So you're also carrying out projects for Postbank, which have supported the development in this segment. That's correct.
No, it's mainly from the Deutsche Bank side, retail banking so far, where their digital initiatives have taken place. We are working, but in a smaller pieces for Postbank as well. And once the integration, which is still not fully defined how it will go, is defined, we see potential there. And if we would lose something in digital, we would hope we would just win the same amounts in the integration phase of Postbank.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
More questions? The next question comes from the line of Dustin Mildner of Equinet Bank AG. Please go ahead. Mr. Mildner, your line is open.
Yes, can you hear me now?
Now, yes.
We can hear you, yes.
Okay, yeah, good morning, everyone. Thanks for having my question. It's basically related to the Q4 or the guidance you issued in Q4 or following the release of Q4 numbers. So obviously, the segments, top two clients and business outside the two clients developed kind of, yeah, a bit different from what you expected. Deutsche Bank was not as bad as feared maybe, and but on the other side, if we look at the clients outside Deutsche Bank business, it was a bit maybe a bit weaker than expected. Do you still stick to your outlook for the financial year 2018 for these two customer groups, and what do you expect going forward for the next quarters for these two customer groups?
Yes, yes, we absolutely stick to the guidance and the bandwidth we've given. Please take into account that our guidance refers to the full year, while we are now only facing Q1. And as we said, we do see Deutsche, especially after they issued their 2017 numbers, which was like mid-late January, they went into this, oh my God, our cost base is not working mode again, which then in the end also led to the management change that we are all now seeing. And therefore, we saw this coming, and we knew it would be a stronger first half year for our top two clients and a weaker second half, while our other customers are continuously picking up business, and therefore we will see the growth throughout 2018, while in Deutsche and Barclays we could see a decline in the second half compared to the first half. And that's why it still works, although Q1 shows a different picture. It is the picture we have seen for Q1, maybe especially on the retail banking side from top two or from Deutsche Bank, surprisingly strong so far. We have been a bit more pessimistic here, which is good, but it doesn't change the overall picture. Therefore, yes, we stick to the bandwidth and also to the allocation of top two and other clients.
All right, thank you.
Welcome.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star then one. And the next question comes from the line of Bérénice Lacroix of Kepler Chevreux. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks very much. Good morning, everyone. Just a question as we got to Spain. So last year you reported a particularly strong fiscal year with strong and tough comps for this year. So how do you see the outlook going forward? Do you expect a ramp up in contracts with existing clients? Do you have new projects in the pipeline for 2018? So could you shed some light on that? And the same question for the Americas and UK region. How do you see existing contracts to pick up this year, and what are the main drivers for the region at the moment? Thank you very much.
Yes, well, yes, Spain so far is looking strong, but of course growth is slowing down. We have seen strong growth in our now second largest customer called Banco Sabadell in 2017. And when you look at our bubble or cake slide, I'm just searching, which is number 9. We see that Spain is up 4%, but growth is reducing. And this still included a quite strong Deutsche Bank business, where we had the fear it would be weaker because, as you remember, we talked about it last year, Deutsche Bank decided to sell Spain and Portugal, but then obviously didn't get the right prices, did not sell the entities, kept them, so they now have to continue investing also into IT, but we were afraid they would reduce the budgets, and so far in Q1 this has not really happened, and this was supporting the Spanish business so far. We had been more pessimistic, but we continue to be skeptical about Deutsche Bank Spain business because the overall logic of them spending less is still valid. So Spain this year will not see a major pickup, and then it will be hit a bit from the UK when the investment banking business there that is nearshored from Spain is reducing. However, it's still our biggest and, due to the size, most profitable entity, and it will stay. I hope I answered your question with that. I was not exactly sure.
Absolutely. You did.
And US and UK, the investment banking business, well, it is continuing as we have said last year. We have our two clients, Barclays, but we are now in quite a small position, so it's an also-ran customer from 2018 forwards. And we have Deutsche with their very special, I would say, self-made and late mover in adapting cost problems. Besides that, we do see growth with the other clients. So when you look at the client list, we have continuous relevant growth with our HSBC customer. We win new clients that make it to our top 30 list, like Bloomberg or Schroders. And we have continuous improvement of our margins at the same time because we have moved more to nearshore, less onshore, but we had more utilization risks last year. Now we have a team size that we feel comfortable with where we already feel in some areas, not consulting, but technology, so coding, that we have a shortage of people. So we are looking inside GFT, who would like to go to London to work onshore. So we have obviously adapted to the right size, and now we're growing mainly nearshore. And therefore, we see this going forward as planned. Will we hit all target numbers for growth? Hey, we will see somewhere in Q3 if the growth we're predicting is really working out. But overall, we have a good track record at the moment, and the market is stable in itself. So it has a significant demand side, and Poland is working as a nearshore location, sales-wise and quality-wise, very good. Therefore, we're optimistic for US-UK. Take out the current disruptions we have, especially with Deutsche Bank.
Okay. Thanks very much.
There are no further questions at this time.
Let's just have another 10 seconds if some question pops up.
Mm-hmm. Again, to ask a question, please press star, then one.
Doesn't seem to be the case. So I say thank you very much for joining today. 30 minutes. Well, I'm quite glad I finally had another normal quarterly call, right, after the Q2, 3, and 4 calls last year. Happy to be back on a more normal track. Talk to you soon. The next quarterly numbers will be in August, which will be more interesting when it comes to looking forward. What will 2018 really be like? What's the bandwidth going to be? We're going to have more information then. If we meet in one of the conferences in the coming months, happy to do so. If not, have a good summertime and hear you soon. Bye-bye.